Hello and welcome back in to Backyard Catch. This is Nick Roby. Thanks for tuning in once again. We had a fun weekend of college football. It is here. There's a lot to talk about. Let's dive right on in. First game up was we went to Ann Arbor, Michigan, where the number 3 Texas Longhorns took on the number 10 Michigan Wolverines. Mind you, the defending national champions, a very different team, different coaching staff, different personnel. However, they are last year's champ, so it's still no easy task to do so and go into that stadium. I liked Texas. I thought that they would go in there and I thought they would win. The spread was 7.5. I felt good about that, especially with some concerns with just what we saw in week one from Michigan as they pulled away from Fresno, but still quarterback wise and just not being able to run the ball. But Texas, man, they went in there and they dominated. The final score was 31-12, but Texas was in control and they looked like the more physical team. I think everyone was kind of expecting if Texas would win the game. If Texas wins, people, I think a lot of times you'd be like, oh, well, you know, they played a little finesse. They hit some big chunk plays, you know. Not initially running through the tackles, controlling the line of scrimmage like they did, and they really did. And then especially defensively, you have to give them credit. They played really well and made Michigan uncomfortable. The big question was how would, you know, Texas's offense go against that Michigan defense? Now again, and on the road against this, you know, it's different personnel, but it's still a tough place to play. And I thought Texas looked great. I thought they missed the field goal going on the first drive, but after that, I mean, they were putting scores together. I think it was 24-3. I think if I remember right at half, and man, they just were in control and they could do what they wanted. Quinn Ewers looked comfortable back there, making good decisions. The young running backs, I know they're missing a couple of guys back there, but those guys looked good. I was impressed with Texas. I really am. And Texas is for real. I know the whole thing is like, is Texas back? And, you know, it's hard to say if they're back or not. And, you know, maybe they might have to win the whole thing. But this Texas team looks good. Like, they look for real. They look like one of the best teams in the country. They have one of the best wins right now. I mean, it's only 2 weeks in. But a couple of these other teams, like, haven't played a whole lot of people. You know, Georgia might have a better win than maybe people thought last week over Clemson. You know, we'll talk about them in a second. Ohio State hasn't really played anybody. They haven't really given up any points, but they haven't really played anyone, you know, up to their level so far. So you have a couple of those teams. You have other teams that are kind of stumbling a little bit. So it kind of, Alabama may be like a notch below, but like there. But those three teams, I mean, Texas, like they look for real. And we will see what they look like when they go in the SEC play, but they look for real. And if you think that they're not going to be able to handle the physicality, maybe of an SEC schedule or handle the physicality of a Big Ten team, like they're for real. Like they might lose, like you might beat them, but it's not from a physicality standpoint and not from in the trenches. They really impressed me. They really did. And Texas is going to be there. I think they're going to be one of the final four teams. And it's just a matter of the matchups in that day and playing when it comes to the playoff. It's a long way to go. And as we've seen, when they play Oklahoma, it's, you know, cards off the table in that, but that's down the road. But as of right now, I mean, I have them number 2 in the country just because they have one of the best wins and they just looked really impressive. And for Michigan, I think, you know, there was some thought, you know, maybe they may not take quite as big of a step. They lost a lot. I know people are making a lot. Have made a lot of the Connor Stallions whole thing of like whether, you know, the whole sign stealing thing, but they lost a lot, you know, and whether or not you know the play or not, you still got to make the play, you know, so they lost a lot. I think no matter who was coaching, it was going to be a little bit of a step back because they lost a lot of people. The big question is like who they need to step up in quarterback play. You know, and they got to take care of the ball a little bit better. They have to be able to run the ball. I think that's probably the biggest concern I have for Michigan. defensively, you know, there are some holes and things they need to fix, but I'm a little less concerned with that. I want them to be able to run the ball. When Michigan recently has been playing well, they've been able to control the line of scrimmage and get the running game, get timely passing, convert for third downs, and you help your defense because you put together drives on offense, and you're going to have to do that. And they're going to have to go back to the drawing board a little bit and kind of lick their wounds and be ready to go, because once Big Ten play starts, like they're going to have some games on their hands, and they haven't played a conference game yet, so there's still that on the table. But I don't think they're going to be quite – they're definitely not the level they were last year, and I think they're definitely a tier below when it comes to, like, national championship kind of hopes and aspirations. So going down the list of games, another game that I wasn't expecting to honestly even talk about, you know, because, you know, limited how many games we're going to talk about, probably the biggest upset of the weekend was Northern Illinois goes to South Bend and defeats number 5 Notre Dame 16-14. Northern Illinois, NIU, was a 28-point underdog in this game. And, you know, you keep looking up and they keep going. And you're like, okay, like they're just hanging around. They're winning at halftime. Okay, Notre Dame's going to get this together. They're gonna pull it through. They're going to, you know, they're not going to cover, but they're going to get there. And they just never quite did. And they hit a field goal with about 30 seconds left to take the lead 16-14. It's one of the bigger upsets in recent memory just because of just the deficit, like that the spread was, and just how, you know, Notre Dame's coming off of the road win at A&M. And, you know, we'll see how good of a win that ends up being. But, you know, it's at home. It's the home opener. You're kind of expecting that. And you have Riley Leonard come in, the transfer quarterback. You're expecting some of that transition to go well. And it's like it never got started going. You have to give credit to Northern Illinois. It wasn't the prettiest of games, but they got it done. They believed in it. Hat tip to those guys. I mean, they played a good game and they won, deservedly so. They're ranked 25th right now in the AP poll. I don't know if I would have gone quite that far, but I mean, it's a big win. It's a top 5 team in the country. So, I mean, I can see it. I didn't have them there, but I could see it. I think coming out of this, it's just there are some concerns for Notre Dame. You know, it's still early and a lot can happen, but I think the biggest concern is just offensively. You go in and win a solid game at A&M in a tough environment, but it just feels like they laid an egg. It seems like Riley Leonard may have hurt his non-throwing shoulder. You still have to. And it just wasn't as much of this dynamic playing that you kind of expected, you know? And it sounded like from just the preparation going into the week, it was not what it needed to be, you know, from a coaching staff or from a, they need a whole going back to the drawing board in this, because also you have to remember, I mean, of course, Notre Dame's not in a conference. So you don't have that automatic qualifier to get in. You have to be an at-large team to get in. This is very concerning. I don't know. I just have a lot of questions and concerns. They need defensively. Like they held up. You hold a team to 16 points. You got to win the ball game. If you're Notre Dame, you need to win that ball game. They held them to 16 points. You have to be more dynamic offensively. Sorry, you do. You need a solid. They have a solid run game, similar to Michigan, timely passing, and you need to go make some plays, and you need to be ready to go. Like, and you're also Notre Dame. You're going to take people's biggest shots. Like, so. Some concerns coming out of South Bend for sure after this weekend. And honestly, wasn't even expecting to talk about them on the episode, but here we are. And you know, that's why you watch the ball games. That's why, you know, we think just when you think, you know, in college football, that they give you some games and you're like, all right, well, here we go. It's a beautiful sport. You gotta be ready to go. You really can. You're going to get people shots every weekend. One of the big ones from the weekend too is in Charlotte. You had number 14 Tennessee play number 24 NC State, and this was a beatdown. Tennessee ends up winning the game 51-10. And the crazy part of this is too, guys, like NC State's touchdown was a pick six. Like, it wasn't even offensively. Like, it just was not pretty. Tennessee was in control. Wasn't like the prettiest of games to watch, but Tennessee was in control start to finish. I failed to mention this earlier, but Tennessee's for real too. Like, I know Texas and Tennessee, like, they're teams like that. USC, like, you're just kind of like, okay, like, when are they at? Tennessee's for real. Like, Nico, he can play. He's going to make some mistakes. Like, first year starter, he's going to learn from that. But I think people forget also too, like, Tennessee showed how good they are defensively. Like, Pierce, the defensive end, like, he's a dude. Like, when you can imagine like how good Tennessee has looked defensively, you know. And then you add in a Josh Heupel offense with a good quarterback and a lot of weapons. Like, they're a scary team. Now, the SEC is a tough conference, and you know, you're gonna get tested in that. And they have a big one when they go to Athens later in the year and face Georgia, because last time they went there, they kind of laid an egg. But Tennessee's for real, and we'll see how good of a win this ends up being with against NC State. Like, how they might be a little bit underwhelming themselves, but I also don't care who you are. Like, when you beat a Power Four team 51-10 in a neutral site, it's in their home state too. Like, it's in Charlotte. You know, like, that's. I was expecting a Tennessee win. I picked them to cover, but not. That was way more, especially from an against an NC State team that also likes to tip, like, to hang their hat on their defense. I think that's the thing too. So a lot of concerns for NC State too. With Florida State taking a drop down, it seems like, and Clemson wobbled a little bit. You know, there might have been some room for NC State. They're playing for their season right now, honestly, because in 2 weeks they go to Death Valley and play Clemson. If you win that game, you have a big leg up, and you can turn the whole script around. And you actually, you know, you haven't played a conference game yet. However, they haven't, as recent history, played as well in Death Valley. They've won two of the past three, but they haven't played as well in Death Valley. And the way Clemson looked this past weekend, NC State better be ready to go, you know, because if you also lose that game as well, it's an uphill battle to climb. Grayson McCall, it's also tough. Like, these transfer quarterbacks, like, it's not, sometimes that they transfer in and play really well. Other times it takes time. It takes time to build rapport. It takes time to have trust and confidence in that. I think sometimes we get lulled into that a little bit. It's just like a quick, easy fix. And it is a step up a lot. I mean, McCall, you know, has been a good quarterback. He was at Coastal, but it's also a step up of competition, a step up of pressure. Like, it's on a national stage, and he's got to play better for them to win, especially what they lost defensively. So some questions going in for NC State. Next on the list, as I'm pulling it up, this one was a crazy one. Oklahoma State finds a way to win against Arkansas. Oklahoma State wins 39-31 in double overtime. And you think about this at home, you're like, okay, Ollie Gordon had himself a good game, gets a couple touchdowns, you know, they win. Maybe it's a little closer than comfortable because Arkansas can play tough. No, he really didn't. Like, he didn't. Arkansas held him in check. Arkansas was in control of this game. I mean, it was like flipped on its head. And then they just made some crucial mistakes, and Oklahoma State is left into this ball game. It was wild. You had some penalties that happened, and maybe mismanage of time. I mean, Arkansas needed to win this game. Like, Oklahoma State won, and you give them credit for that, and they rallied at home and forced overtime. But Green, like, quarterback, he played well. I thought he played well. I liked him. I liked the running back for them, Arkansas. Bobby Petrino, like, called up a good offense. But you have to win that game if you're Arkansas. You cannot let that slip away, especially what you'd have to play in the SEC in a road game against a ranked team. And it's just a similar story. They're having a hard time finishing, and it's concerning. Oklahoma State, I mean, they win the game. I think it's also interesting because they need Ollie Gordon to really play well. I don't think they played like they would say they could play better, and you found a way to win. But Oklahoma State has a lot of goals too. And now without Texas and Oklahoma in the conference, as they go to the SEC, they're one of the top dogs picked. You know, it's them, Utah, Kansas State, and whoever wins the conference wins the bye, or not guaranteed a bye, but they're the top five, you know, finishers or conference champions. they'll get in the playoff, obviously. So they have a lot to play for, but they're going to have to tighten some things up as well if they want to make that postseason. So that was a wild game. Crazy part is Oklahoma State ends up covering in this whole thing because they go for two. They get it because they had to, and I had to get 7.5 in the contest I'm in. So wild game. Alabama, number 4, hosts USF, South Florida. If you remember last year, this was the game where I think Milroe doesn't start, or they struggled on the road. It was an ugly, 17-3 game. It was just not pretty. But then they go on a run, and they kind of figure it out. Fill out, Milroe's the guy. They go and make a conference playoff, a college football playoff appearance. And now USF comes in, and this was close. It really was. The final score is not really what this game was. It was close. USF gave them some issues. I like Alec Golish, the coach at USF. I like him. I think he's doing a good job. USF's an underrated program right now. And I think it also shows you, I was listening to Josh Pate on his show, and I agree. It shows you that, I also think that the Boer is going to do well at Alabama. I like what he's doing. There's a lot of transition, of course, but they're just, and I thought Josh made a good point, and I just want to reiterate, I just didn't want to take credit for it. That I think it's a good point that they just, the difference between Alabama and a couple of these other teams is the depth. He made a good point about the offensive line. They made a switch, with one of the guys offensive line and brought in a guy who was thought to maybe be hurt. I mean, he was hurt going into it, so they weren't sure how much he could play. They bring him in. They score 21 points, second half late. And the score ends up being 42-16, but that wasn't really the story of the game. So for Alabama, hopefully maybe they can work some kinks out and really, before they get into SEC play. But give props to USF, man. They came in. They went to Bryant Denny Stadium, and played a good game, I thought. So, and for Alabama, you work out some of these kinks, but it just shows you they really – that they can't, especially offensive line, they can't have these injuries because, they're just not as much depth as you can imagine, especially in this NIL era. I think that's the biggest thing is you're seeing with some of these teams is some of the depth that can be really hit throughout all of this. So, there's that game. Let me pull up my schedule again. Other ones just to kind of hit on. Kansas State gets all they can handle from Tulane. They pull away 34-17. 34-27, they end up winning the game. This one was close. Kansas State, didn't. There are definitely some things they could improve on, but they get the win there. Offensively, I'm sure they wanted to tweak some of those things. Syracuse and Georgia Tech play a tough matchup. This one I had a hard time trying to decide on because you have Georgia Tech coming off of 2 wins in a row. They beat Florida State in Ireland. They're 2-0. They're ranked, but they're a road team, a true road game now. And you have Syracuse with their first real test, but it's at home. That's a tough place to play. Kyle McCord played a great game, and Syracuse ends up winning 31-28. I like Fran Brown, and I know it'll be interesting to see as he continues to build on that team. I think with Georgia Tech, it's not surprising that they lost the game. I think just they made a couple mistakes, and Syracuse just made a couple more plays than them. But I think it's also for both of these programs, it was they're definitely I'm seeing some momentum being built for them for sure. And so, but that was an underrated good game as well. Also a couple other teams that have some concerns. Oklahoma, they pull away. I didn't get to watch this one as much, but Oklahoma squeaks out against Houston. That's concerning. Just because Houston is expected to be towards the bottom of the conference and only scoring 16 for Oklahoma is not as strong. So they have some concerns. Oregon, I have some concerns as well. They just haven't had that gear yet. I mean, they win 37-34 against Boise, but they are just squeaking by in some of these games. And you're going to have Big Ten play coming up and you're going to have some long road trips. And they just haven't quite looked succinct yet. And, now they're number 9 in the AP poll. I think they were number 3 going in. And so there just feels like there's another level that Oregon can get. And so, and just keeping an eye on them, but they're kind of flirting with that, you know, against a Boise team who is good. But I mean, Oregon's at home and they should win that game more comfortably. Nebraska takes care of Colorado. Like, Nebraska wins 28-10 in a game. I think they were up like 20-0. They had a pick six, and Colorado just, you know, they're the ones, you know, last year when they lost at Colorado, they had turnovers, you know, and Colorado was able to take advantage. Nebraska's home environment was awesome. De La Riola played, you know, pretty decent in a first, you know, really big time game. And Matt Rhule, man, he can turn programs around. My big thing for him is, like, it'll be interesting to see if he stays longer than like 3 or 4 years, like what it will look like long term. But man, if you want someone to turn around a program in 3 years, 2 or 3 years, man, Matt Rhule's your guy. And they played well in Nebraska. A lot of positive things in me out there. In Colorado, there's just some concerns, and it's still like, what Colorado team are we going to get, you know? And I didn't like some of the press conferencing just coming out of, you know, when it comes to like, the offensive line needs to play better, or just, I don't know. I don't like all that. I just don't like all that stuff. I just don't think you throw your guys under the bus like that. And they have to improve. And I think they really, if they want to sustain this long term, Deion's going to need to start recruiting high school a little bit stronger than just the portal, because as some of these games will show you, like, it doesn't matter, you know, how many school guys you have. If you're not winning the line of scrimmage, like, you're not going to win. Like, Big 12 play's coming. Like, you got to be ready to go in that. So Colorado, just not a great game for them as they go back to the drawing board. And then last but certainly not least, just wanting to mention Clemson, who's there, was number 25 going into this game. They play App State. They win 66-20. I picked App to cover. As they were 17-point underdog, I picked them to cover. App is a traditional, like, tough group of five team. Like, they beat A&M on the road, you know, a couple years ago. They've played North Carolina tough. I mean, that was like a 63-61 game a couple years ago. They're tough. And, you know, after the Georgia game, you don't know what version of Clemson you're going to get. Like, you don't even, like, you just, it's what, how are they going to respond? And they responded. Like, they, I don't know if I've ever seen like a quarterback be that locked in a while. And I know some people might say it's okay, it's App State. But I mean, App State, like, some people had picked them to be the group of five representative in the playoff. Like, they're not a slouch program. And some of those plays, like, you don't just like make those plays against anybody, you know. They were up 35-0. There was the most points scored in a quarter and in a half in Clemson football in like 20, I think, ever. And then like the best half football played in like 25 years. Like, it was just, it was wild. I mean, 92% completion percentage. Cade has 7 total touchdowns. Doesn't even play the second half. Like, that's all in the first half. It was wild. And so, you know, it's like Clemson, I think, is I think that's, it had the epitome of a coach being like, seeing how close his guys were and seeing them execute it. I mean, you could just tell Dabo and the coaching staff was just so thrilled by the response from the team. So we'll see. We'll see what Clemson looks like going forward. But man, that was an offensive output from a team. There's been a lot of questions about, you know, the offensive consistency for the past few years and just seeing some that explosiveness. And those freshmen, man, Wesco and TJ Moore, like Wesco especially, he had just a baller game. I mean, I think those guys are the real deal, and I think we're going to be talking about them for the next couple of years. So, but there you have it. That was a fun week two. A lot of games we've dove into. We're diving in more to the week three games coming up, so stay tuned for that this week. If you're not already subscribed, make sure you're subscribed. The goal right now is we're trying to get to 500 subscribers on YouTube. That unlocks a lot more for me and be able to do more for the podcast and the show. If you're not already, make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get that. If you want to be a member, we're building a fun membership on Patreon. We're building a community of people who love college football. And then when college basketball comes up, we'll do more with the ACC there as well. But that's a fun way, and it also supports the show and supports me to be able to continue to make this type of content for you guys. That's big. We have a newsletter, we have a bunch of things. Follow us on socials. We're at Backyard Catch on Instagram. Twitter is probably the biggest one right now, but we're on Instagram as well. Facebook, obviously on YouTube here. Wherever you are, we are trying to be. So we're on TikTok as well. A lot more planned in the future. But thanks you so much for listening. Hope you're having a great week. And we will talk soon about some week 3 games. For now, we're signing off.